Here by side, Perites, Pasik, Pasik, Tezbav, Kol, Rosam, Gilgul. It's a very powerful Pasik. It's a very, 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 a lot of Yisoidais, a lot of basic ideas in this Pasik. Kol, Hashem says the name of Hashem, Kol, Rosam, Gilgul. All of their evil, all of the evil of Klal Yisrael. Okay, if you take those words very literally and very seriously, he's saying over here, every sin, every element of chait that is found in Klal Yisrael, that all the doros can be rooted in the sin that took place in Gilgal. And you're going to ask me, what in the world happened in Gilgal? What sin took place in Gilgal? So we're going to see now a whole collection. And according to every interpretation, whatever it may be, it's saying heavy, heavy words that the chait of Gilgal is the root of all evil. Kisham, it was there, sine sim. Wow. Powerful words. It is there where Hashem says, I developed a hatred for Klal Yisrael. That's where it all started. Al roya ma'al alehem, due to the evil of their deeds, the roya is evil, ma'al alehem means their actions, and therefore, as a consequence of the chait that started in Gilgal, mi beisi agorah shem, I will drive them out of my home, lo oisif ahavosam, I will not continue to show them love. Why? Kol sarehem soirim, all of their leaders have turned astray. Powerful stuff. What exactly that? Remember, Gilgal was the first stop Klal Yisrael had in Eretz Yisrael. They came in after 40 years in the Midbar. They crossed the Yarden. They come into Eretz Yisrael. The first battle was the Battle of Yericho. They conquered Yericho. Okay, we know that Ochaz sinned by taking the spoils. So he took Biza. There was a Cherim. Yeshua said that being that Yericho is the first city which we're going to conquer, we're going to dedicate its spoils to Hashem. No one should touch anything from Yericho. And there was a fellow who was not able to be oimed, to withstand the temptation to take some of the booty. Ochaz, he took the booty. Ochan. He took the booty of Yericho. And no one even knew. It was a big secret. And then it was a very great success. They conquered the city. Everyone was on a high. And then they went to fight the second battle, the Battle of Ai, the city of Ai, and Klal Yisrael suffered a crushing defeat. And this was not supposed to happen. Klal Yisrael was promised they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to conquer the land, conquer the 31 kings, and over here, something is really going wrong. Pasuk says 36 people died, and Rashi there says that's one. The truth of Mikra is 36 people died in battle, but some say it was only one person, Asnil ben Kenaz, who was Shokul Keneged, the 36 members of the Sanhedrin. The majority of the Sanhedrin, he was killed in this battle, and it was a crushing defeat. It demoralized the people. Yahushua did not understand how in the world something like this can happen after all the promises that we were given. And Hashem said to Yahushua, Choto Yisrael, the Jewish people have sinned, they have taken from the booty, and Yahushua says, who? Me, who's there? Who's the one who sinned? So Hashem says, you asking me to say Lashon Hara? Don't you learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim? What's with you, Yahushua? Am I a gossip monger? Okay, go learn, get on the hotline. Go take out a Sefer Chafetz Chaim. What's going on here? So Yahushua made the goyrol, and he discovered it was Ochan. He told Ochan to confess, v'chulu v'chulu. So you would expect the first major sin that Klal Yisrael committed when they entered Eretz Yisrael would be the sin of Yericho, taking from the spoils. And even though you'll tell me it's only one person, it's only Ochan, but the silent majority, tolerance, the fact that it was tolerated, the Pasuk blames the entire Klal Yisrael. Hashem blames the entire Klal Yisrael. Chata Yisrael. One person may have done it, but one person would not have the chutzpah to do it unless other people, the rest of Klal Yisrael, did not view his actions to be so terrible, to be a silent majority, the tolerance. The tolerance was what allowed Ochan to commit the sin, just like the eagle. The eagle, there were 3,000 people who worshipped the eagle, and it was not even the main part of Klal Yisrael, it was the Erev Ra, it was the newcomers. How, so what's so terrible? Over 3,000 of 3 million people? What's the big deal? Right? So what's the terrorist? And it's not even the main people. These are the newcomers. The tolerance. The fact that it was tolerated by the other people allowed the 3,000 people to do the Avera, and Hashem holds every part, member of Klal Yisrael accountable for their indifference to a chait that is take a chil Hashem. So here's only one person, but the indifference of the entire Klal Yisrael is what allowed, fueled Achan with the chutzpah to do this Avera, and there was a crushing defeat. So we would expect this would be the Avera which Hashem would say it all started there. Nope, no mention. Let bygones be bygones, you're forgiven. They did tshuva, everything was forgiven. What?
With the everybody observed. Here they took it one in secret.
Secret, but the chet ego is in public. Okay, it's true, okay, but it would appear that the punishment of the Chedo Egel is too severe. The Pasuk says, V'yom pokti pokadati. Hashem said, Hashem's anger flared up, and Hashem said, I want to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael.
A public display,
but it's still only 3,000 people. This is a little overreaction. Today, we're very into that. Today, we're very into, if something happens, don't overreact. Okay, you always hear, there's a Maisa. Something happens. Don't overreact. Don't overreact. I saw someone yesterday. There was a story in Yeshiva. There was a terrible, terrible story in elementary school. Two boys were found doing something very, very bad, and everyone found out about it. So there was an overreaction. So the Yeshiva responded, Usser. They went to an extreme that something like this should never happen again, or at least the Yeshiva should not ever be found guilty. Should not be held accountable if something like this ever happens again. So the first thing everyone in the community screams is, you're overreacting. Just because there's one exception, one person, two people did something terrible, it doesn't necessarily reflect on every single student in the school. Why does the administration of the yeshiva have to overreact? So the Yoim Poti Pokati, 3,000 people sin, Hashem wanted to show them to our Klal Yisrael, and we suffer, the Pasuk says, Ad Hayoim Hazeh. Every time Hashem gets angry at Klal Yisrael throughout the all generations, it is all a punishment. It's all a punishment for the Chet HaEgel. Every punishment that we suffer today is there is injected in the punishment a small degree of punishment for what happened way, way back in the Chet HaEgel. Is it not an overreaction? The answer is no, because it was tolerated. It was tolerated by every single person, and that's why it happened. So we're guilty when it comes to Achan, the same thing. But yet, the point I want to make over here is the commentary to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is not focusing on this sin. What is he focusing on? After the battle of Ai, where do they go next? And I'm not exactly sure if I'm saying it's correct, but very, very shortly thereafter, they settled in Gilgal. Okay, not long after they conquered Ai, they went to Gilgal, and in Gilgal they erected the Mishkan that they followed for 40 years in the desert, the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu that was erected in the desert for 40 years, was erected for another 14 years. They settled in Gilgal, a city, and they set up the Mishkan, the same exact Mishkan. And that Mishkan stood for the next 14 years while Klal Yisrael engaged in Milchama, conquered the land from the 31 kings of Canaan. And then it took them another 7 years to divide the land. We have many times we discussed what took so long, that's not for now, but it took another 7 years to divide the land among Klal Yisrael for a grand total of 14 years. And after 14 years, what happened? They then moved to Shiloh. Okay, they took down the Mishkan. The Mishkan was retired. Where did they put the Mishkan? No one knows. The Mishkan was put in Geniza. After those 14 years, the crushing of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mizbeach, Hanachoshes, and the curtains, and the Urios, all of the things that we learned about in Parashas Truma Tetzaveh, Vayakal Pikudei, it was all put in Geniza, put in storage. And the Medrash says that L'Osa Lava, when Mashiach will come and the Bayis Shlishi will be built, it will be discovered, the location of where all the Mishkan is stored, and it will be reassembled, and it will be a tourist attraction, or a base medrash, a base tefillah. It will be a place where people will be able to come and visit. And when you learn Parashas Terumah Tetzaveh, you'll be able to go to actually see exactly what the Mishkan looked like. But it's not going to be the place where you bring Kurbanos. The Kurbanos are going to be brought, in the Yerushalayim. But there's going to be a place where they're going to erect the Mishkan so people can see what the Mishkan looked like in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they'll go there as well to be Mispalel, a place of tefillah. So this is the place, the first settlement, if we may use that word, of Klal Yisrael, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, the city of Gilgal. It's the place.
Gilgal was even before Yericho.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. Yericho was first. Yericho, was the gateway. Yericho was.
Gilgal was located between the Yarden and Yericho.
Okay, but they did not go there.
They did the bris before Yericho.
When they crossed over the Yarden immediately, in the 10th day of Nisan, they made a bris. When they crossed over the Yarden, now the Pashup Shai, Lord Sefer Yeshua, they came into Eretz Yisrael, they came into Yericho, they crossed the Yarden, they went immediately to Yericho. Immediately after Yericho, they went to the Battle of Ai, the whole story of Ai. And then, afterwards, they settled down in Yericho. In Yericho, they erected the Mishkan that they were carrying with them, and that remained standing there for the next 14 years. Now, we could assume that if that's where the Mishkan was erected, and that's where all the Korbanos were brought, and that's the place of Aliyah L'Regel for the next 14 years, Yericho became the capital of Klal Yisrael for the first 14 years. Gilgal was the place where they erected the Mishkan. This became the capital of Klal Yisrael for the next 14 years. After those 14 years were over, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, they were told they should go to Shiloh, and they should take down the Mishkan and build a new structure. It was not the Mishkan, it was not the Beis HaMikdash, and in fact, it's one of the most mysterious structures that we don't know very much about. All we know is the walls were stone. There were no kirushim in Shiloh. The walls of the Mikdash were stone, but the ceiling were the same yerios from the time of the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's all we know. We do not know what it looked like. We know nothing about it. And what's so surprising is this stood for 357 years? I forgot the number already. 369 years. 369 years. That's a very, very long time. And this was the center of Klal Yisrael. Until what happened? Until the battle of the Pelishtim, when it was a Mulchama, and they took the Oroin outside of Shiloh into the battlefield. This was the first and last time they ever did something like this. They took the Oroin HaKodesh into battle as a source of, I guess, of power,
protection,
whatever they what it was Shiloh Kedin. Chizuk, it was Shiloh Kedin. The Oroin was captured. It was captured by the Pelishtim. Who was the Kohen Gadol at that time? Eli HaKohen, who were his sons, Hophni and Pinchas. And when the report came back that the Arden was captured, Eli collapsed backwards and he died. He died. And his two sons were killed in battle. And the Chazal doesn't say this anywhere, but Chazal tell us is that at that moment in time, when the Arden was captured, the Pelishtim attacked Shiloh and destroyed Shiloh. Shiloh was destroyed. Shiloh didn't just come to an end, a happy end. Gilgal was a happy end. They took it down very peacefully and they moved on to Shiloh and they erected a new, more permanent structure. Shiloh was destroyed just like the Bayis Rishon was destroyed and just like the Bayis Sheni was destroyed. There was a terrible Churban in Shiloh. And in fact, the Churban of Shiloh, according to many commentators, and we've learned this many, many times, was much, much more traumatic than the Churban Bayis Rishon, because it was the first time something like this ever happened. No one ever believed it was possible for the home of Hashem to be destroyed. When the Bayis Rishon was destroyed, it's old news. We know such a thing is possible because Shiloh was destroyed. And we learned many times that the nastiest thing a Navi can say to Klal Yisrael during the time of the Bayis Rishon was, it's going to happen to you just like what happened at Shiloh. That was like below the belt to say that. And many in the Yeshayas said that we learned that because that was the most painful experience Klal Yisrael ever had. That the first permanent structure should be destroyed, it made a very powerful mark on their neshamas, and they never thought it would happen again. And when the Navi is warning them that if you're not going to behave, it's going to happen again, it was a very painful and nasty reminder that they should do teshuva. And the people didn't believe it. Yeah?
Two points. One is that in Gilgal, they also put in mizbechas. They took the avanim out of the yard.
They made a mizbeach. Okay, fine. Okay, they made a big stones. They made big stones to, as a bris to indicate that the shvatim, the two shvatim, Reuven and Gad and Chatzis Shevet Menashe, are part of Klal Yisrael. And they made a special bris in Gilgal. But the main thing over here is they built the
mizbeach. There, even when they moved to,
of course, that
once
never
they
worked.
Destroyed Shiloh, there was nothing left.
Right, right, Echanami, right.
Two,
today
is the yahrzeit of
Yeshua Ben-Nun. Okay, Zuchuso Yogin Aleinu. He's the one who authored Aleinu L'Shabeach. So today you say Aleinu by Mincha, you should say it then with Kavana as a Zuchus, that he should. Zuchuso Yogin Aleinu, he is the one who composed Aleinu. Yeshiva Chatzos, what? Atabasi. Atabasi. Very good. He's Taka. Very good. Atabasi. He's the one who started it. Koil Chatzos. It's very good. It's true. Yeah.
Archaeologists finding something on the site of
Shiloh? No, there's nothing. Nothing. Yeah. They're digging there like crazy today because the Chalashim to find something.
I could have sworn there was something about a Mizbeach that they, or something that they thought.
It's been way too long that anything that they can find, they can accurately.
I wasn't sure. That is they show where it was.
Archaeology, they dug it up.
Yeah, and they're digging, but there is a big square surrounded by a foundation.
Okay, it's really, really hard to really know because think about it. It's so, so far back. Shiloh is before the beginning. It's how many years? It's probably almost 100 years before the beginning of the Bayis Rishon. Today, what is the earliest thing they can possibly find today? They find things from the Bayis Sheni. They claim once in a while they find something from the Bayis Rishon, right?
Yeah,
the end. They found something from the end of the Tkuf of the Bayis Rishon. Is it really authentic? Do you really know for sure?
What the guy explained in reverse. He says, we know that it was from stones, the walls.
Yeah.
He says, but we don't know historical fact, yet something was built from stone there. Nobody later on in all these years. So he says,
it has to be.
We found something which is from stones. It has to be from
stone. Because we have no record that anything was built there from stone during that time. There's no records.
So backwards.
It has to be. By process, by no other reason we have to say. Maybe. It's a shach. I mean, it's... It's way, way too far back. It really is way, way too far back to really know. To really know what they find there is really authentic. All right, whatever it is.
What's the event they did by Google?
I first want to lay out the background before. So I just want to point out that before they went to Shiloh, they were in Gilgal for 14 years. So now let's see all the Mepharshim and see what exactly did they do in Gilgal. And also the key point I want to make is, when did they do the sin in Gilgal? Did they do the sin in Gilgal during those 14 years? Or was the sin done much, much later, during the time? Because Hoshea here is talking to the Jewish people 200 years into the Bayis Rishon. When exactly did they do the sin in Gilgal, for which he's saying that's when the hatred of Hashem started for Klal Yisrael? That's the moment when Hashem declared he will no longer love the Jewish people, and he will drive them out of his home. All we know is there's a place called Gilgal. We know the history, 14 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. And all we know here is something terrible happened in Gilgal. So that background, we have enough background. Now let's see what exactly we are referring to. Star Pasek Tezvav in the Mesudos David for the basics. Tezvav, page 141. The cholera, some, all of their evil, return to Lamar. Okay, four words. Okay, the greatest evil of all. Hima shehenidu avoidas kechavim baGilgal b'mokom she'omad hamishkan b'tchila. According to the Mitzudos, it appears that the sin did not take place during those 14 years. Hashem loved Klal Yisrael for they built the Bayis Rishon 440 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael. So this is a very important mitzudos. That means, according to the mitzudos, David Hashem loved Klal Yisrael for 440 years. And even when they built the Beis HaMikdash, he loved Klal Yisrael for until the time of the Aseres HaShvatim, until they started, things turned sour. When did things turn sour? I don't know exact dates, but let's say 100 years into the Bayis Rishon, maybe less, whatever, Yerovim ben Nevat, he turned sour, he rebelled against Rechavam, he established his own Malchus, and he people need a spiritual outlet, so he established two different temples, Beis Sel and Don. Vizehu, that opened up the gate for Klal Yisrael to worship idols. Now there are, of course, there are people who are looking to make a name for themselves and to have their own shul. So what did they do? Let's make a shul, you know, in an exotic place. We'll go to the Hamptons, we'll go to some real Vegas, we'll go to a place, you know, really the schmacka place, all the gashmias. But they were very religious, so they were not just looking for the gosh, like, where could we go to a place that will really, really worship idols with a lashma, the bren? Gilgal! You know why? Because Gilgal was the first place of Hashroas Hashchina when they came into Eretz Yisrael. And there's always a principle, Ze Le'uma Ze. If this is a place of holiness, that means there is potential for extreme contamination. It's a reality that the greatest apikorsis in this world, where is it found? In Eretz Yisrael. This is a mitzias, the place that the missionaries, the strongest, the most powerful magnets to deny Hashem's hashkocha of this world, is not America, it's not in Europe, it's in Eretz Yisrael. Can you say such a thing? How could it possibly be that the Eretz Yisrael, the Holy Land, that's the place of Hashem's Hashroas Hashchina? Yes, it's Ze L'Uma Ze. When there is...
What? Every
counterforce. Every action, therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, its reality is where you have the strongest centers for trying to convince people to do Averis. It's a very big problem. We know Israeli, you know, Rachman al-Stan, when you fall, the higher you go, the lower you fall.
No. The bigger you are, the harder you fall.
The bigger you are, the harder you fall. And this is a very big problem. And so therefore, the people have an idea. If Gilgal was the first place, there's something very special about the first place where Klal Yisrael erected a Mishkan, and brought Hashem's divine presence to this world, it has to be, this is ideal, it's a place where we will succeed in bringing forth contamination to this world with idols. That is precisely why the people, at a much later point in time, decided to build a temples and mizbechos to offer sacrifices to the gods, specifically in Gilgal. And this angered Hashem very much. Basically, Hashem is saying, I give you blessing. It's always the same idea. I give you incredible bracha. And you use the bracha to anger me. If you go make a, you go and you build a mizbech of the Zarin somewhere else. All right, so now you have a Yetzirah. But you're taking advantage of the bracha, the kedusha of Gilgal, and you're using that as a springboard to worship idols. That spirituality that is found in this location, you're going to corrupt it. You're going to hijack it and worship idols. This, the Pasuk says, is the root of all evil. Ingratitude. It's not just ingratitude. Hashem does with you chesed. And not only do you not thank Hashem, you take the object of chesed that Hashem gives you and you use it, l'haches, to anger Hashem. This is the root of all evil, for which Hashem says, it's there I hated you. My hatred, kisham sinei sin. It is there where my hatred for you has developed. And it is then because of your evil deeds, I have decided I'm going to drive you out, and I'm going to no longer love you. This is the way the Mitzudos David learns pshat in the Pasuk, how he teaches what happened in Gilgal. Okay, let's go further. The Mitzudos kisham, return to Laimar, asher sinei sim, show you shama. I hated them. That they, so he learns, doesn't that I hated you? I hated that you were there. And Hashem, I will no longer love them. All of their leaders are corrupt. All right, so this is the parish of the Mitzvah. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is a bit different. Rashi, Pasik Tes Vav. Call, no, I'm sorry, Rashi is the same. Rashi talk is the same. So far, the same. Rashi, call Rasam, a little sham, here, bula, avoid, I will deserve the bombers. Why? Why did they select this location? That's where the mission was first. If this was the first place where Hashem decided to rest his divine presence, if this is the place, the first place where Hashem decided to rest his divine presence, obviously there's something very special about this location, and they were able to use this to their advantage to convince people to worship idols. And this location, I'm assuming Rashi means it's under their jurisdiction. It was under their jurisdiction, and they're the... We're coming to that in one moment. Loy Oisef Ahavasam Lehoy Vasam, I'm no longer going to love them. So this so far is Rashi and the Mitzudas are on the same page. This is where they have worshipped us, and that's exactly the Targum Rashi, and they're drawing their interpretation from the Targum. The Roya Ma'alalehem means it's where they worshipped idols by choice. Look at the Targum, called Bishoshoin. Galion Kodami, all of their embarrassment, their disgrace, their evil is revealed before me. Big lo, big gil golon gilgol are because tamon rei rach rachik tinun, they have distanced themselves from me. Al bishus oivodehon mi beis mikdashaya because of the
no bishus oivodehon.
Bishus,
the bad
deeds.
Nibes mikdashin.
Okay, so he doesn't say it. The truth is the Targum is silent. Okay, right. He's just translating the words literally. You're right. The Targum, I take it back. The Targum is not being clear. He's just translating the words. He's not really telling us to perish. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does not. Hit and miss. Now let's see what it says over here in the Radak. Radak says a whole new interpretation. A whole new apahalik. That's what our mayor just pointed out. Tezvav called us on Google, Kisham Chidshu Hamelucha. It was in Gilgal where the people approached Shmuel and said, Shmuel, we want a king. It says in the Torah, Soim Tosim Alecha Melech. We want a king. Enough of you. Enough. It's time for you to retire. Give us a king. So what's so bad? Okay, that's not for now, a whole sugya. They wanted a king for the wrong reason. A king is supposed to elevate the people to serve Hashem. They wanted the king to be just like the Umay Sa'olam. They wanted it for kavod, tiferes, to show off. They wanted it for their economy. They wanted a king for the wrong reason.
They also didn't want Shmuel, right?
Right, correct. Well, that's another whole mahalach. Okay, that's another whole approach to what the sin was. If they wanted a king, it should be Shmuel should be the king. Why are you trying to take someone else? What's wrong with Shmuel? He's now the Shofet. He's the Shoftim of Shoftim. He was a Navi. Not just the Shoftim, he was a Navi. And now you're going and you're rebelling. Whatever it is, by asking for a king, it was an act of rebellion against Hashem. Hashem is their king. Shmuel is the Navi. Everything is fine and good. It's premature at this moment to ask for a king, or you're asking for a king for the wrong reason. It was viewed as an outright rejection of Hashem. We don't want Hashem to be our boss anymore. We want to have another boss. So someone else should be in charge of us. And that's the Radak says that took place in Gilgal. That's where it all started. So that's different. What date are we referring to? So the date obviously is approximately what, 400 years. They came into Eretz Yisrael. They were there took 480. David was king for 70 years. David was Molach Ali Yisrael for 40 years. And David died when he was 70 years old. So David was 30 years old. And Shlomo, how old was he? How many years it took?
40. He was from 12 to 52.
So it's approximately. Let's say approximately. I'm just making up numbers now. 400 years. This hatred that Hashem started with Klal Yisrael was approximately 400 years after they entered into Eretz Yisrael, when the people said, "We want a Melech." We had Shaul for 2 years. And then David 7 years in Hebron, and then 33 years in Yerushalayim, and then Shlomo until they built the Beis HaMikdash, which was 440 years after they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So go back maybe a little bit more, whatever it is, like 390 years, 380 years, approximately just round number 400 years. Notice that number is less than Rashi and the Mitzudos interpretation, because according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the hatred, the Avodah Zarah, when did the Avodah Zarah really start? Well, I don't know for sure. There was Avodah Zarah during the time of the Shoftim also, wasn't there?
But
the main Avodah Zarah was during the time of the Bayis Rishon, which was approximately 100 years later, 100 years into the Bayis Rishon, right. Or even more maybe. Maybe whatever, approximately 100 years. So that's taking you almost 200 years forward. So it's a very big difference, a very big time period. The positive view is that that's where it all started. The source of evil is all there. Between Rashi and the Radak, possibly there can be a time gap of almost 200 years.
Well, they don't indicate when this worship at Gilgal.
All right, so you're right. So I just said, so maybe you're referring to the worship at the Gilgal time of the Shoftim. Maybe.
It doesn't seem to be based on psukim of the time, and so it's kind of speculative.
Right. When was the main? We don't really know. When did they put up bamos and offer idols to in Gilgal? Was it during the time of the Bayis Rishon? For sure, that probably can be certain. But maybe also there was episodes, there were periods of the Zara during the times of the Shoftim. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, let's go further in the Radak. So he writes, "Masu oisi." Over here, the words are very clear. Shmuel, "Masu oisi mimulach alechma." You have rejected me from being your king. "I perish by Gilgal." So here he quotes Rashi. "I perish by Gilgal." Shlifi shohaya shama mishkan tchilat by Gilgal. Achar ha'avam ha'yadim ha'yavakam ha'nifchar. Hayu aymer lochem nevi habal sheyavdu shama babal. Since this was the first place where Hashem rested his shechina. In Gilgal, they offered oxen to idols. Okay, the next words, we'll leave out the next part. Now let's just see the Malbum. Okay, the Malbum, let's see, it says, "Call Meshiv Lehash." Now here's very interesting. The Malbum is learning a whole new pshat. The Malbum takes this pasuk here, pasuk Yudal, as Hashem's response. According to Rashi and the Mitzvah of the Radak, everything we learned until now, it's a statement. Hashem over here is making a statement, pasuk Tezvav, that listen, you're going to get what you deserve. The day of reckoning is coming very soon. You're going to get what you deserve, and you should know it all started at Gilgal. Okay, that's a statement. It is an independent statement. We do not need to know what we learned yesterday in order to appreciate what it says over here. However, according to the Malbim, if you remember yesterday, there was a dialogue. There's a dialogue between Hashem and Hoshea. Hashem says to Hoshea, the Jewish people, the Aseres HaShvatim, they're going to disappear. They're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. They're going to go into Golos. Sancheiriv is coming for them. And they're going to go into Golos and they're going to disappear. So what did we learn yesterday? Why? And Hashem, why? Because they produce mamzerim. They worship idols. And they worship idols, and their morality has sunk into a low where all the people are illegitimate. So what do I need them for? So what does Hoshea say to Hashem yesterday? Hashem, everyone knows that your hanhaga is midah kineged midah. Okay, that's what Yisro said. Ata yodati ki gadol Hashem mikol hu Elohim. And what does it say in Rashi? What did Chazal say? All other gods, after study Greek mythology, they don't work with the principle of midah kineged midah. Hashem works with the principle of midah kineged midah. The way you behave, Hashem is your shadow. If you do something good, Hashem rewards you exactly in that manner. If you do something bad, Hashem punishes you exactly in that manner. Why did the Egyptians die at the Yam? Why? Because kol habein hayiloid hayoyra tashlichu. So Yisrael said, wow, unbelievable. This is something I've not seen in my career, in all my studies and experiences with dealing with the gods. I never saw something like this. Mida kineged mida, and I'd say, you won me over. You won me over, I'm ready to convert. It's all over. This is a very powerful concept. Mida kineged mida. So therefore, Hosea is drawing on that principle, and it says to Hashem, Hashem, it's not fear. Zelo fear. Just because the Jewish people are sinning, what does Golos have to do with their sins? It's not mida kineged mida. So it's amazing over here what the Malbim says. This is Hashem's response. Hosea, it is midah kineged midah. Let me explain it to you. That's what he says. So Pasuk here says, for Pasuk, Meishiv lo Hashem, Hashem responds, Hagolos einoi ba'avur avoin haznus levat. You're right, but you're wrong. You're right that they're guilty of znus. And therefore the more proper punishment for znus would be they should not merit having children. Mida kineged mida. You produce illegitimate children, the punishment will be that you'll not produce legitimate children. But that's not the only sin. Ki haznus hu rak miksas meira osam. Avol kol ra'asam. Now you have a beautiful appreciation of the Radak of what it means over here, the word kol ra'asam. What does it mean? All of their raw. Kol ra'asam. Kol ra'asam means it's more than just as nus. Nimsa ba Gilgal. Let's go back to Gilgal and see what else they've done there. Sham asu ra'os acheros. What? Avoidas elilim. And now he adds something which is new. Uritzicha v'yeser to'evois chutz min haznus. They have done ritzicha. And what ritzicha they done there? Now, if I'm not mistaken, we learned it not that long ago. Pilegesh Begiva. Pilegesh Begiva, one of the major battles of Pilegesh Begiva, took place in Gilgal. So a civil war, which resulted and we learned everyone was guilty. Klal Yisrael, you know, keshoit atzmecha v'achar kach keshoit acherim. You have a rule, you don't give mussar to someone unless you are innocent from that sin. The Gemara says that a dayan would tell people, remove the splinter between your eyes. And what does the dayan say back? What do people say back? Mr. Dayan, Rabbi Dayan, remove the beam between your eyes. You're telling us we have a splinter between our eyes. You have a beam between your eyes. Yeah. I don't remember the details, but part of the battle, the sin of Pilegesh Begiva. I don't know the details, but part of the battle or the city that was very much involved in Pilegesh Begiva was Gilgal, and that's maybe what he alludes to over here as Ritzicha. There was a civil war. The whole civil war was unjustified. Even though there was a terrible sin that did take place among Binyamin, the people who gave them Musar were no better. And that's why Chazal tells us more people died in the battle from the rest of Klal Yisrael than from Binyamin. There was only one Shevet. So almost the whole Shevet was wiped out. But from Klal Yisrael, 11 Shvatim, the number of people who died was more. What?
40,000.
Right, something like that. 20,000.
And then after Binyamin was 25,000.
So there was 40,000 that died. There were many more died. So that all took place. It was centered around Gilgal. So that was the other sin. Okay, so we have now a third parish. It's not just the Melech, not just the Vodazor. There's also in Gilgal, there was also a Tzicha. The yeser to evois chutz min aznus kisham sinesim al roya ma al roya alehem shehim yeser to evois shenimsu binayim bavur zedir more sins mi beisi agor shehim eni roitz shiyu oy mi beisi shubaaretz shnusati lohem l'shev sham. I don't want them to remain over there anymore. Ki ish hasoine es ishtoy al roya ma al leha, like a man who hates his wife because of her sins. He's not going to support or give her a place to live for food. There's no hope. They're just fundamentally corrupt. There's no leadership, and there's just no hope. And therefore, there's nothing I can do for them. They have to be driven out of their land because of it's the sin. It is indeed Mida Keneged Mida. Klal Yisrael is my wife. And when a wife does not behave, then it is the minog of the world that the husband divorces her and he sends her out of his home. And that's exactly what's happening over here. He's Hashem over saying, you're my wife, you're not behaving, you're not just doing Znus. You're doing it with a Zara, with Sicha. I have to divorce you and send you out of my home. My home is Eretz Yisrael. So it is indeed Midah, Kineged Midah. Okay, so these are the three major Mahalchim in the Parshim. Did I leave anything out? No, I think we got everything over here. Let's go to our next Pasuk.
I'd like to add a certain thought of mine.
It's a different giver. This giver, they fought with Yamin, his name is
no, but there was something about Gilgal. We learned this. We learned this something not that full. It was Gilgal, but there's also Gilgal, the city of. You have to go back to Shaifkin. Go start the sugya. I don't remember it. Start the sugya to Legish Begiva. I believe that Gilgal there was. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm making a mistake. But I think there was a Gilgal. There was something about Gilgal that was related to that story. Yeah.
According to Pshat, that their terrible avera was that they wanted to have the king. It's an avera, but I mean, why is that so terrible? I think the terrible thing about that is, as opposed to the other averas, is that there was an avera done, coded by a mitzvah.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that you see, the other ones outright znus, outright avodah zarah.
Very good.
Yes, yeah. But when you coat, which I think is very, very common important, today, right. I know with myself also, when you coat an avera with a mitzvah,
right?
Yes,
you
yes.
Make because it says in the Torah, what do you want from us? Soim tos v'lechamelech.
That's what it
it's
says.
A mitzvah. It's yes. A mitzvah. Yeah, it's a mitzvah.
So, when a person does an avera coated by a mitzvah, that's very. I think that's
right. Corruption. You're hijacking the mitzvah. You're corrupting the mitzvah. Absolutely, it's a very, very big problem. We all have need help.
With that, there's a spark of gaiva, and you know, and everything is mitzvah.
Oh, mitzvah shloim lishma, bal lishma. Very, very good. Saim tas is very, very good. That's where it all starts. It all starts when you make believe. I'm doing a lishma. I mean, no, you came nikmas Hashem.
People get addicted. You know, people who are addicted to drinking in our community, they don't go to bars.
Shabbos.
No, they go to Shabbos.
Shabbos
they
Kodesh.
Never gone to Hashem Shemayim. They would never go to a bar. Never.
Hashem Shemayim. Everything's like, you're saying very, very good.
They don't want Yain.
You're very, saying very, very, you're saying very powerful. That is the Shoresh. That's Kol Ra'asam.
Mitzvah.
Kol Ra'asam is when you sugarcoat an Avera with a mitzvah. Very, very good. I like it. Okay, Pasik Tezayin. Okay, let's try to finish. Huga. Ephraim. Ephraim has, continuing telling what's going to happen, there's a prediction. Ephraim has been smitten. Sharsham Yavesh, their root has dried up. Pri Bal Yasum, they will no longer produce fruit. That's very scary, right? There are three different expressions. Gam ki yeledun, even if they will give forth, even if they will appear to produce children. Vehimati machamadei bitnam. The end will be, I will bring death to the delight of their womb. This point is very interesting. Sometimes you find people, you see this sometimes, the people that are successful, and like, it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense why these people should be successful when they're fundamentally corrupt. And, you know, it's a nesayin. Why you have very good people, you know, tzaddik v'rala, so over here, it's very true. Over here, you see that in this pasuk, Hashem says, don't worry. don't worry. You think they're successful. Everyone is coming to bow down to them, and they're so happy. Look, there are people that are nipped in the butt. They're nipped in the butt. They don't. The people who are evil. So Hashem cuts them off from the very, very beginning. Who can fry him? Right? So it says they've been smitten. The shorashon, their root, is yavesh. Or nothing is going to grow. Pre-bal bal yasum. They're not going to be able to produce fruit. But you know, sometimes they get away with it. Sometimes in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows evil to blossom, to have a root, and to produce fruit. And it seems, you know, like crime pays. Hashem says, be patient. Be patient with me. Gam ki yeledun. Even if you'll see these evil people will be successful in bringing forth fruit, they will give birth to children, don't be impressed. The day will come, Hashem says, Vehemati, I will bring death, machamade, vitnam, to the delight. It's machmat, it's precious. The whole world, wow, unbelievable. Never saw such success. Machmadei bitnam, it's the precious fruit of their womb, it will also come to an end. So Hashem over here is saying, Rachman will stun the people of the Aseres HaShalotim have committed sins. They're beyond repair. And Hashem over here, it's very frightening what it says over here, is that they're going to be rejected. Listen to the Pasuk to Zion. The Mitzudos on page 143, Hukah hinei kvar. The word Hukah is in the past tense. It's too late. It's already too late. Hukah Ephraim bimach oivei hatzarois. In the pain of tzarois, when ispayish, they're already suffering. When ispayish sharasham, their root has been dried up. Achlo yigalu oy peri kidecho ilon shnisyavish sharashay uritzon loymar nechlash meoid v'lo yolid oy banim. They're too weak to produce children. Gam ki yeledun, and if you'll see, they are successful. The af im kama mehem yeledun hine omis, they're gonna die. The best of them will still ultimately perish. Don't be impressed with evil. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Tes Zayin says, Prival Yasun Lo Toiv Lohem Lifreis Olibas. Ki Gam, it's over here, he's learning over here. Very similar. Rashi seems to be saying over here that he's continuing the same idea that we learned a few days ago, is that it's like a tzil almost. Like over here, it's a Hoshea is being mispalel. Don't let, better they should die young, they should die as usually a stillborn, then come into this world and die as adults where the pain will be that much greater. Loi toiv lohem lifrois v'libra, shaharei gam ki yiledun vehimati machmadei bidnam. Because if they will become adults, they will be successful, then they will have to die then, due to their terrible sins. And when that happens, it's much, much more painful. The suffering is that much greater, so it will be better that they should be cut off from the very, very start. Okay, let's take a look at anything I want to point out.
The philosophy was that there's always room for tshuva. It
could
always do it, even for the last second.
That's, you're asking a very tough question. 100%, there's no question about it. But here you get the idea is that the likelihood is not on their side. The conditions are that it's just not going to happen. If they do tshuva, if they'll come, 100%, Hashem will always accept the tshuva. But Hashem is saying the process of godless is going to begin right now. Because don't tell me, oh, but be patient with them. Be patient with them, and they'll ultimately, years down the road, they'll do tshuva. Hashem doesn't work like that. If, according to the rules of statistics, it's not likely they're going to do tshuva.
If you're worshipping idols,
and there's no leadership.
Miskan was... then you're
not
doing the opposite.
And you get this idea very, very often now, the power of good leadership. Kol soreihem soirim. Okay, there's no leadership. When you don't have leadership, then the likelihood of being successful is very, very big problem. You know, on Chol HaMoed, I went to that Levaya in the Chosn Kal Levaya. So one thing that really impressed me very, very much, I mean, I'm proud, it was, what a horror. I mean, I'm telling you, the horror is beyond words. But you know, the one who ran the whole proceedings was Rabbi Bender.
What?
No, the old one. No, the young one. not the young. Everyone is young. The senior Rabbi Bender. So his son did all. No, his son did all the behind the scene work. Baruch Bersender, he's like a misaskim. He did all the behind the scenes work with the police and with the medical examiner, and the, you know, and the whole. He did all the arrangements. But the one who ran the show was the father. And what really impressed me was I saw very strong leadership. It was so clear a gefährlich tzara happened. And he stepped in, it was like clear as day, and he was koine, he acquired it. This is tzara, he stepped in, I am going to take care of this. Whatever has to be done, I possessed it. He literally possessed it. What? He took ownership 100%. I didn't have to. I didn't have to take ownership. No one has to take ownership. He took ownership. It was so apparent.
Doesn't surprise me.
And it was very, you know, the tsar was so great. I mean, it's just not to be believed. And but it was comforting how there's someone there. And he pulled out every resource of his that he has, which he has a lot of resources, and he mobilized them. And it was a very refreshing thing to see powerful leadership. And I'm saying this, I can't tell you the details, because in my mind, this over Yom Tov and now, it percolates over many years, other tragedies, communal tragedies, that Rachmana Litzlan. There's always leadership. I'm not coming to criticize Chas Shalom, but not like this. Not like this. There was no stone unturned. He took ownership. That's an incredible thing. It just really, really, it changes everything when you have powerful, responsible leadership who knows what they're doing, not schmazels who think they know what they're doing.
You don't have that when there's a community, you know, which is.
Well, there are a lot of communities. There are a lot of communities.
We're not a community here.
That's the problem. We're not.
We're
sure.
Not going to the community.
They
took charge
community.
When Sandy.
Sandy,
happened.
Right? Sandy, they took charge.
Yeah.
But okay,
yeah.
I didn't say. You know, I say that I'm not in the community. But here, you really saw it, and it was amazing. And you know, when you extrapolate, Klal Yisrael needs something like that. Klal Yisrael, and the big picture, you need. Strong, responsible leadership. And if you don't have that, you know, like sheep without a shepherd. It's mamash what it means. Kitzoyin she'in lohem roye. And so Moshe was mispallah. Let it not be that Klal Yisrael should be kitzoyin she'in lohem roye. So you get this idea, Mr. Mills, you're asking a very good question. Hashem will do tshuva, we'll do tshuva. Have patience. Have patience. So knew the worshipping idols. Knew they'll come around. You know, have patience. Patience. There's no leadership. There's no hope for leadership. They're not producing leaders. There's no institutions to produce leaders. They don't want leaders. You know, they throw out anyone that's good. You got to get rid of because you're a threat to the institution. So we don't want there to develop leaders. So what? There's going to be hope for you. There's hope. There's no hope for you. What? I've got to be realistic. So Hashem is starting the process, and Pasuk makes it clear as day. Kol Sorehem Soirim. There's no Jewish leadership. There's no hope. No hope? Forget it. I'm not going to be patient. And Allah, and the flip side, wow, you have Jewish leadership. It's really, really amazing. And it's really a lesson to learn. It's really a lesson to learn to watch how he, like I said, those words, or Michal, the words, he took ownership. Very, very powerful. Okay, let's now go to this. Okay, let's finish over this pasuk. We do over here. There's one of the gra. I like the gra. The gra over here says in this pasuk, okay, Huko Ephraim. This is like mamish classic gra, classic from classic. The gra says Huko Ephraim Huko Ulan. Okay, that's Sharsham Yave Shulamata. Okay, the lamata. Okay, that's the point. One Baal Pri Baal Yasun. You have the tree. You have the root and the fruit. V'hu kineged shalosh klalois. The three expressions in this pasuk of Huka Ephraim, Sharsham Yavesh, Pribal Yasun. Why the three expressions? Ze le'umazeh, going back to the previous psukim, mileda umibeten umehe royoin. Okay, so therefore, just like back we learned yesterday, 2 days ago, we learned the three curses before that he said that they should die from the beten, the leda, and the heroyoin. So here we have the same exact thing, is the same, these same concepts repeat themselves, poetic repetition with three different expressions in ze, lu, uma, ze. Okay, this can be a springboard, you know, and analyze the two different sides of the coin, these two different expressions, according to the coin parish of the Gra. Okay, anything else we want to discuss here? I think not. I think we pretty much covered with the Rashi, with the Rashi here. Okay, let's now go to the last pasuk. Let's finish up now, right now. Yimosem Elokai. Now, the word Yimosem is a very scary expression. Yimosem means Hashem will detest them. Now, what does that mean? What does Nevuah Hashem will? It has to be. You know, Hashem doesn't say in the future that Hashem will do bad things to us. It's a very hard, we'll see in a moment what I'm trying to allude to.
Let's just keep that in mind.
Yimosei Melokai. My God, who's speaking here? Hosea.
Yeah.
Hosea is saying the day will come when my God will detest the Jewish people. Okay, it's a very scary word. We have the word Hashem will sneis, that's why I hated you. I'll no longer love you. I'm going to drive you out of my house.
May Hashem
detest them. Okay, that's even worse. He's being misled that Hashem should detest them. Ki lo shamu loy, because they did not listen to him. V'yiryu noydedim, and what should become of them? They should noyd, and move around.
Wander.
No v'not. Good. Wander. Wander. They should wander b'agoyim among the nations of the world. Now, let's see Mitzudos. A lot going on here. It's not really that, just a little bit. To finish up very quick. Not too much over here. But let's see Mitzudos. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Zayin. Mitzudos. Page 143. Yimasem Hashem. Hashem Yimas Bam. So
he's saying this is what will happen.
He's not a bakasha. Okay. This is different perushim. What it means. It's a very hard expression. Hashem Yimas Bam. I know. I see with Ruach HaKodesh, with Nevuah, the day will come when Hashem will detest them. Noi the dim bagoyim, no dim vinoim bagoylo bein umois, the wandering Jew. Okay, the wandering Jew, it was predicted right here by Hosea, that's what's going to become of Klal Yisrael. Now that's really good, because unfortunately this did not happen, according to Hosea, with the Aseres HaShvatim, they're gone. It'll be a good thing. We're the wandering Jews, the survivors, who can identify themselves still as Jews, are the wandering Jews. Unfortunately, Aseres HaShvatim, they're gone. We don't know where they are. What happened to them? They assimilated. They disappeared. They're on the other side of Sambatyoin. Where is Sambatyoin? Where do they go? All right, let's see over here what it says in Rashi. Rashi says, Pasik Yudzain Yim Osei Melokai. Einenu Klola. Oh, whole new pshat. It's not a curse. Chas Shalom. Ela Besoira. It's a reality. What's the difference between a curse and the reality? It's all the same, right? Einenu Klola. Ella Besoira, it's an announcement. Osid hu limosam. The day will come when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to detest them. Look at the Mesif says Zekanim. Eino loshon klala v'ritzon elayma shebevaday hanavi lo yikalil es Yisrael. Why over here is Rashi over here? We're always trying to say this. Because according to Mechol, you actually suggested, may the literal translation of Yimosayim is, may it be, That Hashem detests you. May it be that my God will detest you. That sounds like he is cursing them. So that's why Rashi steps in. I disagree. Even though you write according to the rules of grammar, that seemingly is what it means. It means it's a curse, but that's not what it means. He says it's a statement. Ein Losh and Klala. This is the reality of what's going to happen. Okay, let's see. Before we wind down, anything I wanted to mention here? No, not here. That's all I really wrote down. I went through all these over here. That's it. Okay, that's pretty much it. We'll leave that with that. And the Yiratz Hashem, tomorrow we'll begin Perek Yud.